Good morning. Welcome to the program. My name is Charles Rose. I work with the Church of Christ in Lincoln, Missouri. Our church building is located on Highway 65 at the south edge of town, and we meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for our Sunday school classes, at 10:30 for worship, Sunday evening worship at 5 o'clock, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7. I'd love to have you come and visit our services and study God's Word with us. We also offer Bible studies through the mail that you can take and study at your own home, at your own leisure. To receive one of these, just drop us a note requesting a free Bible study by mail. Send it to the Church of Christ, P.O. Box 137, Lincoln, Missouri, 65338. All of the miracles of Jesus are great, but there's one that really sticks into my mind. It's where Jesus gives sight to one who's born blind. For some way, that just seems extra special to me. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7 tells of Jesus having done that. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said these things, he spit on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. That's incredible. I love that story. But it's important that we take note that this man was born blind. Jesus takes pity on him and he anoints his eyes with that clay and tells him, just go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And at the end of verse 7, John very matter-of-factly states that the man did as he was instructed. He came back seeing. How remarkable that such a miracle could be described with no fanfare whatsoever. Just with the Lord Jesus, just an everyday occurrence, it seems. Verse 10 records the beginning of what may well have been the most questions that had ever been asked of this man, who up to this point was just that blind beggar. But he is suddenly thrown into the center of attention to all the people around. And the people begin to ask him how he had been made able to see. He told them exactly what had taken place. It appears the people soon reached a point that they thought, well, this situation is too much for us. So they take him to the ones who should have been God's leaders of the people, who would have answers to their questions. Take him to the Pharisees, verse 13. Now the Pharisees proceeded to ask him the same question. "How did you receive your sight?" And the man's answer was simple, to the point. "He put clay on my eyes, I washed, and now I see." Verse 15. Some of the Pharisees said that Jesus couldn't possibly be from God. Why, he violated the Sabbath by doing this great miraculous act on the Sabbath. Other Pharisees were honest enough, at least, to question how such a miracle could be performed by a sinner. Thus, there was a division among the Pharisees over this blind man being healed, verse 14 and verse 16. Now, the next move by the Jews was to quiz the parents of the man, doubting that he had actually been born blind, verse 18 and following. That poor man had been unable to see all of his life, but we now find that he has another major problem. His parents seem to love their standing in the synagogue more than they loved him, verse 22. They refused to get involved. They chose instead to just throw their own son to the Pharisees. He's of age, you ask him, verse 21 and verse 23. The Jews then confronted the man, trying to intimidate him, telling him to glorify God by denying that this so-called sinful man, Jesus, performed this miracle, verse 24. But this man is relentless. Verse 25 is indeed a jewel. He may not have had much education, been blind, but he displayed an ability to determine what is really important. One thing I know, though I've been blind all my life, now I can see. This marks the beginning of a progression of boldness and courage, even aggressiveness, as the man grows more and more weary of their refusal to face the facts and admit that Jesus actually gave him his sight. He's astonished by their admission that they don't even know where Jesus is from, and yet he performed this great miracle, verses 29 and 30. This incredible man even proceeds to preach a short sermon to the Jewish leaders. His lack of fear is amazing. He shows himself to be a man of some understanding of God in verses 30 through 33. The man's disregard for the leaders and his audacity in speaking derisively to them certainly didn't go unnoticed by those proud leaders. Their immediate reaction to this little sermon that he preached was just cast him out of the synagogue. Verse 34. Now, up to this point, this man has lived his entire life in complete physical darkness, but he didn't have much trouble at all in coming to see Jesus as who he really is, the light of the world. Verse 5. This was an honest man. He was willing to change his thinking when confronted with additional information. I want you to notice the progression of his faith, and this is the gist of what I'm trying to say today. See the growth of his faith. In verse 11, he simply refers to Jesus as a man called Jesus. That's all he knew of the man. But by the time we get to verse 17, his knowledge of Jesus has increased to the point that now he knows Jesus is a prophet of God. Moving on to verse 38, after Jesus explained that he was the Son of God, this man's faith in Jesus has blossomed to the point that he now says, "Lord, I believe." And he proceeded to worship the Lord Jesus. This was indeed a man of character. He is of the greatness, the uniqueness, and the divinity of Jesus. He gave us a most impressive example of courage to stand for right and against wrong. Comparing yourself to this man today, how would you describe your faith? Now, his faith came from a personal, physical encounter with the Son of God. We cannot do that today. Our faith in Jesus has to come from our hearing about him as we study God's Holy Bible. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. How far would your faith lead you to embrace truth and reject religious error today? Come and worship with a congregation whose faith is built on God's revealed Word, found in your own Bible. Let's study God's Word. Let's believe God's Word completely. Let's obey it from the heart, so that we can go to heaven together. Once you do that, come and visit us at the very earliest opportunity. Thank you for listening, and have a good day.